Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80, Sudama visits Lord Krishna, text number 42. Tushto hambo pija srishtaha. Satya shantu mano rataha.
Satya shantu mano rataha.
Chantam siyaya tayamani. Viha Padatracha Tushtaha, satisfied. Aham, I am. Ho, my dear ones. Dvija, of Brahmanas. Trishtaha, O best. Satyaha, fulfilled. Santu, may they be. Manaha Prataha, your desires. Chandam Si, Vedic mantras. Ayatayamani, never growing old. Bhavantu, may they be. Iha, in this world. Paratra, in the next world. Cha, and. You boys are first class brahmanas, and I am satisfied with you. May all your desires be fulfilled, and may the Vedic mantras you have learned never lose their meaning for you in this world or the next. Purport: cooked food left sitting for 3 hours is called yatayama, indicating that it has lost its taste. And similarly, if a devotee does not remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, the transcendental knowledge that once inspired him on the spiritual path will lose its taste or meaning for him. Thus, Sandipani Muni blesses his disciples that the Vedic mantras, which reveal the absolute truth, will never lose their meaning for them, but will remain ever fresh in their minds. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gunam Jana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Chena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamanyam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Mokam Karo Kuratalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam. This verse gives us a hint on how to be very successful, how to be successful in spiritual endeavors. Sandipani Muni is very pleased with Sudama and Krishna. Tushtoham. Tushtoham. Tushti means to be satisfied. Pushti, tushti, pushti. What is it? Pushti, tushti, chudapayano nugasam. Tushti, pushti. Chud. Satisfaction. So, Sandipani Muni is completely satisfied by the sacrifice, the surrender demonstrated by his disciples. We sing in the morning, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat prasado yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. That if one wants to know Krishna, if one wants to be, in other words, if one wants to be successful in their spiritual endeavors, then one has to please the spiritual master, satisfy the spiritual master. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the guru, and by the mercy of the guru, one receives Krishna. And as is mentioned in the previous verse, text 40, Aho he putrakaryu yam asmad ate tiduki taha atma vai praninam prishtas tam anadritya mat paraha. Atma vai praninam prishtas. The body is very dear to the living entity. Why? Because it is the source of our pleasure. It's also the source of our pain. This is the trick of the material world, is that the material energy promises us pleasure, but ultimately delivers pain. This is one of the reasons why when we're confronted with endeavor and activity in spiritual life and we equate that with our previous experiences, then we're a little reluctant to surrender completely to the guru, because we can see that actually there's some austerities performed. And we've performed so many austerities in so many lifetimes trying to serve the material energy, and all we get out of it is naught. Or a drop of pleasure. Our desire is to taste unlimited pleasure. That's our longing. Our hankering is for something completely satisfying. And yet, when we've endeavored for that, our experience is that we're just frustrated. And so therefore, when it comes to endeavors in spiritual life, we think, oh, it's just the same thing. That's why the Sunyavada Nirvishesha philosophy is popular, because basically the theory is everything is nothing. So don't do anything. Make it zero. Then you'll be happy. Because there's no struggle, there's no effort, there's no endeavor. We want to just be shanti, peaceful. Even that doesn't work. Because there's no zero. There's no zero within the creation anywhere. There's no actual experience of such a thing. And especially the living entity is not zero. We may not be able to see it from the material point of view, but from the spiritual point of view, we have our identity. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Krishna explains in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita how each one of us is a part of him. And he has identity, so therefore we have identity. Or we have identity, so therefore God has identity. It's not just some nothingness or some void, even though we would like him to be. And this is the real trap, Prabhupada mentions, of this Mayavad or Shunyavad philosophy, is that there's no God, there's no nothing, and so therefore it doesn't really matter what you do. So therefore do what you like. And then you get all sorts of degradation. But Sanipani Muni is so satisfied with the efforts and the endeavors of his disciples, because they have sacrificed. This is the reason why he's so happy, is because they've sacrificed their personal consideration And we see that in the lives of the great acharyas, and even in the lives of the lesser acharyas, those devotees who have completely surrendered themselves to serving Krishna in a menial way, or even in a prominent way. They're happy. And they're satisfied. Those who are dedicated to serving Krishna in a surrendered way, ultimately, they're the ones who are happy. They have no material possessions, but they have Krishna, and so therefore they're satisfied. So the means by which, and that's indicated here in this pastime, is by selfless service to satisfy the spiritual master. And by sacrificing one's personal existence, that, especially the body, that's what it's mentioned here, atmavai praninam prishtas, the body is most dear. This concept of I comes from this body. And the sacrifice of one's possessions, mine, what is mine, belonging to this body. By sacrificing these conceptions for the pleasure of the guru, then Krishna is pleased. And Krishna is accessible then to the devotee. So here, Shanipani Muni is expressing his pleasure. Tushto ham bo dvija sreshtaha. By having satisfied me, you are better than the dvija, the brahmanas. Dvija sreshtaha means you're the best of the brahmanas, or best of the twice born, basically. And twice born means those who are on the path of liberation, those who are in the path of enlightenment, those who are in the path of self-realization. And then as a result of satisfying the spiritual master and getting Krishna's mercy, then what's the result? Then that your desires will be fulfilled. Satyaha shantu manorataha. One who is able to satisfy the spiritual master will have all of his or her desires fulfilled. May not be in the way that we anticipated or would like. But those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, they're always satisfied. This is the nature of a devotee. Even though there may be, it's mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, even though there may be desires, the consciousness of a devotee is so broad and expansive and so deep. The example is given is like the ocean. A devotee is like the ocean. He's deep and satisfied in himself. And even though there may be desires, those desires are like rivers that are flowing into the ocean, but they don't unsettle the ocean. The ocean is so vast and so deep and so broad that whatever desires there may be, they're just like the rivers flowing into the sea. They don't actually create any disturbance for the devotee. And here the blessing is given to Krishna and Sudama. May you remain fixed in your Krishna consciousness and your taste, the purport, in the purport here, it's mentioned that food left sitting for 3 hours is called yatayama, which is basically going stale. And we see this. The devotees who don't remain focused on pleasing the spiritual, in other words, those who don't remain fixed in their devotional practices, especially sadhana. For us, basically, we're sadhana bhaktas, which means we have to practice devotional service. The more we practice devotional service, the more spontaneous and fresh it will be. You know, at the moment, you know, when the alarm clock goes off, it's all like, oh, God, what's going on? Well, we're so stale and decomposed, we don't even hear the alarm. The one who sticks to the sadhana process will gradually come to this stage of spontaneity. That's the process. It happens automatically. And we see what happens is those devotees who don't stick to the sadhana processes, to the rules and regulations, and this is recommended by Rupa Goswami, niyamagraha, those who are neglectful of the regulated principles, or even on the other side, too fanatical. Look, we have to be, you know, we've only had 1 hour of sleep, you know, then it's not unreasonable to be tired in the morning. So if we've had some late service or whatever, then, you know, getting up early may not be very practical. So we have to be practical in the application of our devotional service. But at the same time, as much as possible, we should try to stick to the regulated process. The rules and regulations of devotional service are sort of like the, you know, when a child is learning to ride a push bike, then they put these little wheels on the side so they don't fall off. Then when they become adept at riding, then you can take the wheels off and there's no problem. So the rules and regulations are like the supportive wheels on a push bike. Till we've become accomplished at performing devotional service and we adhere to the rules and regulations. The interesting thing is also that even when we're accomplished, we still follow the rules and regulations. Lest one commit offences. One of the, it's interesting, in the Nectar of Devotion, which we'll be studying next year, in the Nectar of Devotion, there are lists of things to be avoided. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Along with, and well, the things that are mentioned first are do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. 10 items. Do this, do this, do this. So these, we should learn these principles. Nectar of Devotion is actually, especially that the first section is a book that should be read again and again and again, really, because we forget these things. And then we see those devotees who lose enthusiasm for the basic practices of Krishna consciousness, like, you know, chanting 16 rounds, not following the principles, avoiding materialistic association, then they lose their taste for devotional activities. They lose their enthusiasm. It becomes hackneyed, dull, strained. It becomes stale, as is mentioned here. Yatayama means stale. Devotional service becomes an imposition. It's like, oh no, do I have to do this? sister, I will ask her to prasadam. Yatanchana smite jasmin. Katanchana. Is it? Yatanchana smite jasmin. Dushkaram shukaram bhavet. Vismite mi paritam syat. Sri Chaitanya namami tam. Which means basically that difficult things. Things which would be extraordinarily difficult to do can become very simple or easy if one remembers Krishna. Katanchana smite jasmin. But easy things, easy, simple things, if you can't remember Krishna, they're like impossible to do. Little easy thing, and if you can't remember, just like, you know, Arjuna on the battlefield was able to destroy, you know, millions of soldiers by Krishna's grace and by Krishna's desire. Yet, when he was taking the queens of Dwarka and supposed to be protecting them, he was just beaten up by some cowherdsmen. Of course, actually those cowherdsmen were Krishna, but that's another. But it illustrates this point that, you know, if we get Krishna's mercy, and that's really what we're looking for, then nothing is impossible for the devotee. And all desires, basically, all of our desires will be fulfilled by Krishna. In a way that's supportive of, you know, that will be satisfied completely. The devotee is not just satisfied. Tushti, in that sense. Yes. The devotee is actually anandam buddhi varadanam. He's in it, floating in an ocean of bliss. Huh? When we are Krishna conscious, then we suddenly realize, this is it. This is what I've wanted. It's not based on material acquisition or material possession or material result, but it's a spiritual position. And in that position, then one is thoroughly satisfied, completely satisfied. Shh. Yes, why aren't you in class, you boys, instead of out there working like sudras? And the key to pleasing the spiritual master, the key to getting that bliss, if you like, of Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness is blissful and completely satisfying, is through serving the spiritual master. But what does it mean to serve the spiritual master? This is a good question. What does it mean to serve the guru? Do whatever you want. Whatever makes you happy. Yeah. That may not please the guru, and quite possibly won't please Krishna either. So, you know, the measure of how to please the spiritual master means basically follow the instructions. Of the spiritual master, and that means accepting the austerities along with the, you know, there are good bits and bad bits. Of course, as we were discussing the other day, what is it? Artha kukuti nyaya. Is that right? Kukuti. Yeah, that's what a chook goes. Kukuti is a chook. Arda kukut, you know, we want to take the good bits, but we don't want the bad bits. We want to take, the Prabhupada said, you know, this is what people do. They want to take the good bits out of the Bhagavad Gita, but the, you know, the austerities, The tapasya, those bits, no, I don't like that. So this is like the farmer who wants the hen, half a hen philosophy. He wants the half of the hen that lays the eggs. But the front half that he has to feed, he doesn't want that. So he chops that off. I'll just have the egg laying portion. But then he just killed the whole chook. So he gets nothing. This is the Ada Kukuti Nyaya. So we shouldn't be like that. We should understand that we have to take the whole chook. The whole chook and nothing but the whole chook. That's what you have to have. And that means, you know, submission, basically. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena shevaya. Which means, first of all, coming with a humble attitude, with a humble mood. Not challenging. One shouldn't challenge. It's okay to test the guru, especially if one is an aspiring disciple. It's actually recommended that one should test the guru. You know, you should test your guru. And we have this whole idea that whenever there's somebody who's a guru, then we all bow down, unquestionably. But actually, that's not our process. Our process should be to test the guru. Make sure that he is a guru. There are so many cheaters. So we should test. Because within ISKCON we are respectful to everybody, because every devotee that's serving Prabhupada is respectable. But even within ISKCON we've seen that devotees have deviated. So we have to be mindful of that. But and even then, in testing the spirit, testing the mental, if you like, or testing the qualification of a devotee, we do it in a respectful way. So this submission or proper approach is necessary, and it is facilitated through inquiry. Pariprasnena. So first of all, pranipatena means approaching submissively, and then pariprasnena means inquiring. Prasna means questions, and pari means all around. Like we have parikrama, which means walking around. So pariprasnena means questioning, all about. But then once one's questioned, one should then follow the instructions. Once one has found a spiritual master, in one sense, just by coming within ISKCON's umbrella, then we've found the spiritual master, because we have the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Right? And so it's not difficult actually to get the instructions of the guru, because we just have to open up Prabhupada's books and read. That's why the Nectar of Devotion is such an important book, because if you want to know how to prosecute devotional service, Rupa Goswami has just given us a list of do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So then, once one's got the instructions, then one has to act. Sevaya. Do the seva. Just like Sudama and Krishna here were doing the seva. They were out collecting firewood for their guru. And of course then, as a result of doing the service, then the challenges will come. That's when the challenges will come. But if one can then stick to the order of the spiritual master, then by undergoing the ordeal of the austerity of devotional service, one will become purified. As mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, by practice, by determination, theistic conduct, in other words, following the recommendations of the scripture, the Shastra, and then undergoing the ordeal, because as a result of that, there will be tests. But by facing the challenges and being purified, even failing sometimes, you know, we may fail on occasion.
Once or twice.
But we use our failure as a means of, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained how, you know, you fall down, and the thing that the earth, which is what you've tripped up on, you just push on it to pick yourself back up again. So, you know, there will be tests, there may even be failure, but the failure is actually, like they say, failure is the pillar of success. Why is that? Because in failing, we then find our faults. We find out where we realize where we made our mistakes, where we have our weaknesses, practically speaking. And then by knowing our weaknesses, we're actually strengthened by that, because we know, okay, I'm not such a superman or a superwoman. I need now to adjust my behavior in such a way so as to adjust for my weaknesses or strengthen the weaknesses. And especially for us, basic, you know, the basic practices of Krishna consciousness are where we're weak and where we have to strengthen ourselves. Then what we'll find is by practicing devotional service in that regulated way, then the desire, the taste will come. Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Instruction, is very, in a very, you know, it's only 11 or 13 slokas, not very many slokas, but in 11? Yeah, 11 slokas. Rupa Goswami takes us from, you know, base neophyte to, you know, resident of Radha Kund. Boing, sort of like a fast track. And he's aware of this point, and he makes this point, you know, that the chanting of Hare Krishna is so relishable and sweet and so powerful that it's like a, you know, like I say, it's a, in a short amount of time we can go from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour very quickly as devotees. But the taste for chanting may not be fully developed. You know, when, this is what happens, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna one day and we're thinking, oh, this is ecstasy, this is nectar, this is what I've been waiting for. And then the next day, you know, it's so hard that, you know, it's like pulling teeth. The mind won't concentrate, wanders all over the place. We can't stop the raging mind. And it's as if we have absolutely no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna whatsoever. Tudaivam idrishani harjani nanu ragaha. I don't have any attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. I'm so unfortunate. Actually, to be honest, that is a very fortunate position to be in, because, you know, the tendency is we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're tasting the ecstasy, and then we start thinking, gee, now I'm a Paramahamsa. There's a trick. We actually have to be humble. Tudaivam idrishan. And it's not bad to think I'm very fallen. Actually, that's good. But Rupa Goswami recognizes this point, that actually the chanting of Hare Krishna is very sweet, but we taste it as bitter. And he makes the point that the tongue is like, in that condition, is like a person who's suffering from jaundice. The cure for jaundice is to take sugar candy, but to a jaundiced person, sugar candy tastes bitter. The sugar is sweet. It's just that our tasting is poisoned, if you like, or dysfunctional. It's we who are dysfunctional. It's not the holy name that's dysfunctional. And yet, even though the medicine is bitter, if we keep taking the prescribed dosages, which is basically 16 rounds a day, in a steady fashion, with attention and focus, and even though the mind may be raging, you know, this problem, that problem, another problem, this one said that, this one did that, I want this, I want that. Even, you know, I notice when I'm chanting my japa, then all of a sudden something that I did when I was 7 years old, you know, ba-dang, pops up. And then for some reason or other you want to, you know, time travel, or you want to go back to the past. So all of these things, so many desires actually. So many lifetimes, so many desires basically. And so much bad association comes up when we're chanting Hare Krishna. But we have to remain steady and just fixed on the chanting. We may not have a taste for it. When it gets austere, when things become dry in our devotional service, then that's when we think, oh, it's too hard, I want to give it up. But actually, we should understand that that test, that trial, is actually of great benefit to us. Because we learn our weaknesses, we find our faults. We realize our mistaken identity. Hopefully. Otherwise, what can happen sometimes is, you know, why is all these bad things happening to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Krishna must be wrong. But actually, Krishna's not wrong. He's being very kind and merciful to the devotee by putting them through some purification. And as is pointed out here, Krishna and Sudama, they perform this austerity without personal consideration. This is the point. One has to give up one's personal consideration and sacrifice our concept of who we are. Atmavai praninam prestas. And that's not easy to do because this body is so dear to us and this concept of who I am is so dear to me. And the things that are belonging to the body, we are asked to sacrifice them, and they're also dear to us. And we don't want to do it. We're so attached to this concept of me and mine, and how it's going to make me happy. Even though, as Prabhupada points out, you know, we've been serving the mind and the senses for so many lifetimes, and, you know, we're still not happy. We work so hard, and then at the end, what happens? Poof, gone. All of the things that we work for. And even then, even the things that supposedly we think are going to make us happy, they don't. You know, the classic example is a boy and a girl, you know, they engage to be married, and they think, oh, this is bliss. Now I'm really going to be happy. Huh? And what happens?
They get divorced, he pays half his money, yeah. And the kids turn to drugs and
well, that's one of the options. You know, the wife thinks she's become a slave. The husband thinks, I've become a slave to the wife and the kids. Right? This is his lecture with Prabhupada, was saying, you know, if somebody took your money on the street, you'd call the police.
Yeah. They call the police. Oh, I've been robbed. Thief, get him. And yet, you know, the wife and the kids just take his money and he's happy. Or at least he tolerates it. The money is so dear to everybody, and yet, you know, when the wife and children take away the man's money, he's happy. Yeah, somebody did that same thing on the street, called the police, hey, get that man, they just took my money. So we're working very, very hard for material success, material pleasure, and yet we never get it. And even when we get it, so-called get it, then there's hassles, there's problems, there's difficulties. Which is one of the reasons why when we face difficulties, as I said before, when we face difficulties in spiritual life, then we tend to want to go, ah, but actually, no, we should understand that the difficulties in devotional service are actually the springboard for success as a devotee, the austerities. And they come initially from this humble submission, inquiry. Then when we've inquired, what shall I do, then we put it into practice. And then we should expect that there will be some tests and there will be challenges. But within those challenges and tests, we will discover the seed of love for Krishna. First of all, what we'll discover is the fact that we actually don't love Krishna very much, and we even don't like him. That actually we've come to the material world rejecting Krishna. That's a little bit of a shock. That can be a shock for the devotees to discover, hang on a second, I'm actually not a devotee. But of course that's the mood of a devotee. In the material world, that's the mood. Actually, I'm not much of a devotee. If I was a great devotee, how come I ended up here? It's reality. Of course, but then out of that comes, you know, this, the essential qualification. Vijja Vinaya Sampanne. We were discussing this the other day. You know, learned devotee means humble. That's learning. Real knowledge. Not that we learn, you know, tons and tons of slokas and lots of sections of the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam and then think, yes, I'm very advanced. Because that is a type of learning. But real knowledge means based on understanding, you know, self-realization, atma jnana or atma, knowledge of oneself. And realizing this, you know, actually, I'm not as great as I thought, I'm not as pure devotee as I thought I was. And that will come through challenges and tests in the performance of one's devotional service. And as one learns how to pass those tests, then one will enter into the realm of satisfaction in devotional service. Then devotional service becomes ever fresh, actually, as is mentioned here. Sandipani Muni is blessing Krishna and Siddhama. May your learning and knowledge remain always fresh, not stale. And this is important for the devotee. We have to keep applying ourselves to the process of devotional service, even with the difficulties. And then in that state, our enthusiasm and our confidence in Krishna consciousness will strengthen and grow. And we'll learn to relish all of the challenges. Because devotional service, whether things are going smoothly or whether things are going badly, then it's still service. You know, we tend to like, oh, I like doing this, well, I don't like doing that. But actually devotional service, whether it's a challenge or whether it's running smoothly, actually it's a pleasure for the devotee to perform it. When we get to that stage of Krishna consciousness. And in the beginning there may be some, you know, we might not have a taste for it. But one has to keep taking the medicine. then gradually as we take the medicine, and we've got the prescription, 16 rounds, four regulated principles, keep engaged in devotional service, then gradually our taste for chanting Hare Krishna and our taste for devotional service will increase and increase. And as that increases, then our satisfaction increases also. So we become happy. Susukam kartam apyayam. The nature of devotional service is one becomes happy, not despondent. But there will be tests. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Yes, Abhishek. What was that last bit? Testing the guru means?
Testing how dedicated a servant he is to Yashoda.
Yes, that's one of them. How dedicated a servant he is to Prabhupada. I would suggest perhaps just testing the relationship that you might have with that person. See what the nature of the relationship is. Also, but yes, of primary importance is, you know, how much a person adheres to the order of Srila Prabhupada. Right? That's of prime importance. But then again, also, you know, the nature of the relationship. Although, you know, it's interesting that many of Prabhupada's disciples didn't actually have much personal association with him. Very little at all, in fact. Prabhupada didn't personally manage the lives of many of his disciples. He created a siksha system whereby that was done by his representatives, interestingly enough. Because that didn't always work out, mainly because they weren't acting as transparent representatives. But certainly that's you know, when a person is faithfully and transparently representing and serving Prabhupada, then we can have faith in those persons, or we can develop our faith and our relationships with those persons. And as I pointed out, as I mentioned before, we tend to put emphasis on the Diksha Guru, but actually my experience is that it's not the Diksha Guru who actually trains you in Krishna consciousness. It's somebody else. And you realize that after you've had about 1,000 arguments with the person, hang on a second, I should be following this person's instructions and I should be a little more respectful to them. Because they're the ones who really help me in the tough times of Krishna consciousness. Not because the Diksha Guru hasn't done that, it's just that they weren't there. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's a very practical relationship. Our relationships, in our spiritual relationships in Krishna consciousness, are actually very practical. Devotional service is practical. So we learn after some time, and even, you know, it may be a person who's junior to us that inspires us. Do you know what I mean? At least in terms of longevity or whatever in Krishna consciousness. So we can learn to take instructions from anybody, really, who inspires us in our devotional service. Just that we have this somewhat tunnel vision of what a guru is. It's the person you take initiation from. In other words, we emphasize the Diksha Guru, but actually there are devotees who instruct us, and who should also be honored and respected. So long as they're transparently and faithfully serving Prabhupada and Prabhupada's mission. And that can manifest in so many ways, actually, when you think about it. Just say, for example, the householder who's at home working and looking after the family and preaching Krishna consciousness, they're an inspiration to us. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to necessarily just be the sannyasi who's renounced. Of course, we naturally respect the sannyasis. But we can also be inspired by the householders who are also serving Krishna from their position and level of influence and participation. So, you know, it's a multi-faceted topic. If you're not mature. Yes.
We cannot actually accept that.
So you're saying when we're not mature,
how do we judge?
How do we judge? Become mature. Become, grow up. One thing about life is it's tough and you've got to grow up quick. Right? We can't be babies forever. My dad used to say to me, you know, when will you grow up? Obviously, it was taking a long time. When are you going to get real? My father used to say all the time, well, you face reality. Well, he probably, anyway, he knew that. You know, my dad was always yelling at us, turn off the lights! It wasn't long until I got, well, as soon as I got into my own place and I started paying the electricity bills, and I was turning off the lights. But, this is why, you know, we need to study the scripture, and why Prabhupada wanted us to read his book scrutinizingly, as we were discussing the other day, you know, scrutinizingly to understand these principles and to recognize, you know, when we're being cheated, or even when we're cheating ourselves, because, you know, the biggest cheat usually is us. We're strolling around with this conception of who we are. And we're just, you know, we're living in a movie, listening to the sound, you know, our own soundtrack. We've created the soundtrack. It's just an illusion. That's what's actually going on. So, in order to mature quickly, we need to chant regularly, steadily. We should associate with the devotees, do service. And study the scripture. So that we can, you know, we can ascertain what's going on, what is the principle here, and how should we apply it. And this is a, really, it's also the onus is on the leadership of our communities and of ISKCON, basically, to set a very good example and to guide the devotees, assist the devotees, so that they can come to that point of assessment and discrimination, if you like. Right? So we need to, we as leaders or teachers, basically, we need to train people how to assess and understand a situation so that they can then make their own choices. Not that we tell them what to do, right? But rather we help them assess the situation and then make their own decision based on a sound assessment of the actual situation. So, you know, if devotees come to me and say, do you think I should take shelter of this guru? I usually will say, I don't know. That's your choice. But here's the criterion by which you can decide. Right? So, you know, it's education, basically. That's why education is so important. And why studying Prabhupada's books is so important. So that we can understand the principles. Then once we understand the principles, then we can stack things up. You know, the shastra is like the measuring stick. And then we can... And then we might find that actually the person's down here. And we want them to be up here. So we're going, oh, hang on a second. In other words, we have to think. That's also another challenge. When it comes to spiritual knowledge, that actually is a challenge. Because so few people know the measure, you know, the standards by which we measure a person's spiritual advancement or not. And it can be faked. Spiritual advancement can actually be faked. Just by external manifestations, people, you know, like sometimes in Vrindavan or in Mayapur, you'll get people, they'll come into the temple room and all of a sudden they just start rolling on the floor. You know, like, whoa, what's going on here? Now that, you know, that could be ecstatic symptoms. It looks like it is. But there's one occasion where Prabhupada said, kick them in the head. Let's see if they're ecstatic, if they're in ecstasy, then they won't notice. Well, you know, you see them rolling around the floor and then they go outside the temple and light up a biddy. So, you know, external... So we don't want to, you know, it's an interesting concept because within ISKCON, you know, we've had this experience in the 80s after Prabhupada disappeared. There were devotees who took on the role of spiritual master, and everybody wanted those devotees to be like Prabhupada. Even they were following in Prabhupada's footsteps. But then it became obvious that some of them weren't. They had major difficulties. They were elevated beyond the position that they were capable of holding. Do you know what I mean? This is a fact. This is our history. And so therefore, you know, we do have to be careful. We don't want to be, you know, putting everybody under a microscope in one sense, but at the same time we do have to be careful. So we have to become mature. You know, if we're not able to assess, then we need to develop that skill. And that's not so difficult. Training 16 rounds, following the principles, studying, doing service ourselves, and understanding, you know, what are the yardsticks of spiritual achievement. What are the qualifications? Anything else? Yes, Tom.
So some people might have the idea that someone who's absolutely pure, completely perfect, but it's a person like that is unattainable.
Unattainable?
I'm wondering what your response is.
Unattainable.
Like the perfect person.
Well, unfortunately, in the material world, everything has its faults, yes. Not difficult to find fault in somebody. But perfection, basically for us, means dedicated service to Krishna, despite the faults. even there may be faults. But those persons who are dedicated to serving Krishna, they are considered perfect. Or certainly on the path of perfection. Right? On the path of perfection. Because they're on the path of perfection, then they should be honoured, respected. But, you know, we have to... Another thing that Rupa Goswami recommends is that we identify the devotees according to their position. So we can recognize a Kanishna Adhikari, we can recognize Madhyam Adhikari, and we can recognize Uttam Adhikari. This is our Acharyas and Prabhupada recommend that we do that. You know? So we can see when somebody's an out and out sahaja, rolling around on the floor, moaning and groaning in ecstasy. Then, next minute, we used to have a crew of devotees that used to come for the Sunday feast, and we used to call them the ecstasy crew. They would jump the highest in the kirtan. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But then, you know, go home and bong on. So, Rupa Goswami actually recommends us to carefully, politely, respectfully observe the devotees. We do this in a very respectful and humble way, but by assessing the situation and understanding where each person is situated, we then deal with them accordingly. But all of the devotees, whether they're a little or a big or an in-between, are respected, respectful. Because, as Krishna mentions in the ninth chapter, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. They are trying to serve Krishna. Sadureva samantavya, which means I offer my respects to those persons. Sadhu, he's a sadhu. Samyaghi vyavasito hisaha, because he's on the path of perfection. And in due course of time, that person who's serving Krishna, Ananya Bhak, will become a sadhu and is worshipable as such. Right? You know, there's the story of Naked Pete. You heard the story of Naked Pete? Or there's another story that Prabhupada tells about, you know, the young boy who came from a poor family in a poor village, and, you know, in the villages in India, the kids just run around with that string on and that's it, no clothes. So the boy grew up and did very well at school. And his parents told the neighbours, you know, Pete was, you know, top of the school. And they said, no, it can't be possible. I remember when he was just running around in the backyard with no clothes on. And then, you know, he gets to university and does very well. Gets into law and, you know, passes with honours, and the family tells the neighbours, that can't be right. I remember he's just running around the backyard with no clothes on. Prabhupada tells the story with a slightly different, you know. Then eventually he becomes a judge. Eventually he becomes a judge, and the family tells the neighbours, and the neighbours are saying, that can't be possible. He might be doing it, but he's not getting any pay. So we shouldn't also judge the devotees based on their previous performances, but we need to assess them as they're making progress, as they're maturing, as we're maturing also in our appreciation of, you know, devotional service and of the devotees manifest. And what happens within ISKCON is we learn to appreciate each other more. Right? We become more respectful because, you see, oh, here's a very nice devotee. Despite all of the difficulties that he's had, he's still rendering service to Krishna. And oh, here's a nice devotee. Despite all of the problems and all of the challenges, he's still dedicatedly serving Krishna. What a wonderful devotee. So that, you know, the appreciation develops as we proceed together. This is one of how we can tell the devotee, right? because despite the challenges and the difficulties or whatever, they're still engaged in devotional service. They're still making progress. And they're gradually cultivating the qualities of a devotee actually coming out in their character very inspiringly, actually. So that's perfection for us. Not that, you know, everybody's walking around with a halo around their head and 6 inches off the ground. Right? Because definitely you're not going to find anybody like that. Right? Well, I think we should finish here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.